Log Talk Radio.
Sounds like Emery.
Chuck, how about starting?
I got
off,
it. Happy
Chuck.
New Year, Eastern family and friends. You're listening to the radio voice of Eastern Airlines, and we're glad you're here with us tonight. 2 days into the new year, 2017. The song played was done on an instrument known as a three recorder, and played by Mrs. Lou Mucci, wife of Howard Mucci. Thank you, Lou. My name is Chuck Albright. I'm sitting in for Jim Hart tonight. I'm one of the hosts that bring you this show every Monday at this time all throughout the coming year. Just as a reminder about how to sign into the show or call in, if you have comments or join the host, we're here. All you need to do is go to www.ealradioshow.com and look for the radio icon on the home page. Click the arrow in the circle at 7 p.m. and you'll listen to your computer. You can also tune in by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. This site is the site of our provider, Blog Talk Radio. Now, here's an easier way. Just call 213-816-1611 at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen right in on your phone. You can also join in the conversation by saying, "Hi, we want to hear from you." Now let's get this episode in the air for another wonderful year talking about Eastern Airlines and its people.
Flight attendant Dorothy.
Flight attendants, prepare for departure, please. Captain, we have completed the cabin departure announcement and we're secure for departure.
Thanks, Dorothy. Don, will you let Atlanta Tower know that we're ready for takeoff?
Sure, Captain. I wonder if anyone noticed our new set of wings. Atlanta Tower, this is Eastern 299, is ready for takeoff.
Roger, Eastern 299. Is that a new aircraft you guys are flying? It's sure shiny and long, and with two engines.
Yeah, we wondered if you would notice our newest set of wings. It's a Boeing 757-200. We're the first to take delivery of this new Boeing. You might say we've had a custom built for us. The engines are two Rolls-Royce RB211-535s and each one produces 38,000 pounds of thrust. That's amazing. It's like flying a jet fighter. We've got a full load of passengers, which is about 185, and we have an all-glass cockpit. Hey, we better get out of the way, as we don't want to block Delta from yelling at you, you guys, to hurry us up. I think they're right behind us. I'm not sure.
They're probably admiring your aircraft as well. The winds are from the west to 5 knots, and you're clear to take off on runway 27 left.
Roger, Atlanta, Eastern 299. Confirm runway 27 left, and we're on the roll.
Hey, Eastern, this is Delta right behind you. It sure is a beautiful aircraft.
Thanks, Delta, and it sure is fun to fly.
It. Another year, that is. The host, listeners, Eastern Radio, and even a new company named after the old Eastern Airlines. Lots have happened during 2016, and we want to take the first part of our show just to give you the highlights as we present it this evening. Let's start by recalling some of the association's activities during 2016. Beverly, can you give us a report of 2016 Silver Liners Convention?
I sure can, Neil. The convention was hosted by the Village's Silver Liner chapter on the weekend of April 28, 2016. It was held at Lake Sumter Landings in the Village's, Florida. We stayed at the beautiful Waterfront Inn, where meetings were held, and the chapter provided a very nice hospitality suite and boutique. One evening, we had cocktails and dinner at the Eisenhower Recreation Center, including a tour of the center, entertainment, and the Miss Silverliner contest, the theme of which was sun, moon, and stars. The contest was won by the Florida Gulf Coast chapter, whose skit was an outrageously funny trek into outer space. The cast included Sonia Pucanti Schultz, Janice Wilgus Henry, Sean Dunleavy Mills, Trish Littlefield Schwartzkopf, Barbara Bodge Bucada, Barbara Reed, Stephanie Court Richards, Carol Curtis Jones, Susan Hinson Tobin, and Bonnie Augustus Hearn. Radio show host Chuck was one of the judges for the contest. It was my first Silverliners convention, and I have to say it was everything I'd heard the conventions were. Silverliners came from all over the country and reminisced about the good old days and partied like it was the good old days. The Villages chapter members Jan Gruber, Marsha Wolf, Merrill Oberg, Jan Fox Bland, Pat Anson, Mavis Hazen, Barbara Bailey, Star Johnson, Dorothy Burroughs, Janice Martius, B.J. Howard, and Drew Vate pulled off a wonderful event. 2016 to 2018 Silverliners International officers were elected. President is Connie Kerrigan, Vice President Jen Henry, Secretary is Adrian Love, Treasurer is Pat McLean, and magazine editor is Jan Fox Bland. The International Silverliners 2017 board meeting is hosted by the Greater Miami Chapter and will be held from June 2nd to June 4th at the Marriott Miami Dadeland Hotel. All Silverliners are invited to participate. And lastly, the Eastern Airlines Miami Flight Attendants Reunion that Lori Brewer and I host every year will be held at the Miami Springs Golf and Country Club in Miami Springs on Saturday, March 11th, 2017. This is the luncheon that Dottie Jungdahl started many, many years ago, and it's still going strong. More info to follow by email or in the EARA Keeping in Touch newspaper. And mark your calendars. We hope to see our Silverliners and our Eastern flight attendant friends there. Jim Holder?
Jim Holder what? Am I supposed to talk?
You're free to talk. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. Well,
tell
I'm going to talk about
Reaper.
I'm going to tell you about the Reaper Convention. It was in Nashville back in September the 6th. It started at the DoubleTree Hilton Biltmore. And I got to tell you, I'd never been to Nashville before. I thought it was a very small town. I just for some reason I thought that. But when I got there, that is some place. I mean, you never saw so many good places to go, good places to eat, and right there in the middle of it was a DoubleTree. We had a great time. We had 93 people show up, including our newest affiliate member. It was a Chicago-based flight attendant, which I personally hadn't seen in decades, Alexandra Kiefer, and her husband, John. Also at the banquet, we had Dale and Vi Campbell, the Miami base, with their son, Jeff and Scott, and wife, Janet. Another new Reaper member that had just joined made his first convention. That was John Schurer, who used to be was a check captain down in Miami also. And Dorothy knows that we had another fellow that we hadn't seen in ages. That was Bob Thomas. And we used him to get that resolution going down. His wife, Christy, was able to make it, though. She got there just in time for the Biltmore tour and the banquet. I jumped ahead there. September the 7th, the next day, was busy. We had the annual business meeting after the cocktail party the night before, of course. And we discussed Reaper's financial state, which is fine. We don't have any money problems. We got people problems. So many people passing home. But like I said earlier, we had 93 at the DoubleTree, and we hope to have that many or more at the convention later this year. And we did approve a resolution that was passed unanimously, and somehow I think was presented by Bob Thomas. I'm not exactly sure. Dorothy can clue me in on that. I remember sending it by email, but I don't know. Honoring Eastern Captain Bob Wilbur, presented at the second annual Eastern Airlines Pioneer Reunion and Celebration at Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Everybody would remember back in 1970, Bob was the captain on the shuttle DC-9 that had the attempted hijacking. And First Officer Jim Hartley was fatally shot and Bob severely wounded. And per the Reaper bylaws, we did elect our officer for this year as President Johnny Steinmetz, who many people in Atlanta know as Johnny Eastern. When he was a new hire, he was so gung-ho that we started calling him Johnny Eastern. Neil, do you remember him?
Oh, yes, I remember
Johnny Steinmetz.
Well.
Yes, Johnny Eastern. Boy, he was go, go, go. Anyhow, Vice President for this year is Bud Robbins, Secretary is Jim Gardner, Treasurer Jared Frost, the Director at Large is your humble correspondent, Jim Holder. And we later on had the ladies' luncheon had a guest speaker, Mrs. Deborah Roberts, also known as the Bee Lady. She made an audiovisual presentation on the life and times of honeybees, and apparently it's a lot more complicated than most of us thought about. It was very interesting, and quite a few of the guys sat in the back of the room, including, once again, your humble correspondent. And that afternoon, we had scheduled a single 90-minute trolley tour of Asheville, departing at 2 p.m. It held 29 folks, but since over 50 people signed up for it, at the last minute, we had to set up another one at 3:45. And the same driver for both, and that fella alone was worth the $26 fee, I guarantee you. And his nickname was Uncle Ted, and he managed to squeeze that trolley. If you've been to Asheville, they got a lot of narrow streets, I'll tell you. And he squeezed that trolley bus around those narrow and hilly streets and entertained us with commentaries on state, city history, SEC football, which, of course, is, we all know, the best conference, World War II, local politics, and most of the famous sons and daughters. And it's beyond belief what that guy did. That evening, we had another cocktail party. Of course, we were real big on cocktail parties, followed by a buffet and almost 3 hours straight. I mean, three straight hours of dancing and music and singing by a bunch of drunks. Again, by Savannah Steve, who is called Savannah Steve because he was in Savannah, lives in Savannah, and came up there to do it for the world's greatest DJ. And he did nonstop. Neil, I'm not kidding you. He did not stop for 3 hours. Dancing,
wow.
All kind of city dancing, line dancing, waving bunny hops. And I was out there making an ass out of myself like everybody else. The third day, the 8th, was a do-it-yourself. When most chose to go on the Biltmore tour, it was a long one, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and it had a stop in the Antler Village and Biltmore Winery. And Terry and a lot of the others loaded up on wine bottles, and we're having a terrible time trying to get all that stuff drunk. But Biltmore Village is very interesting. It's right there by the Doubletree, and it's just a few blocks. And the homes were built originally, and I did not know this, to house the workers and their families who cleared the land and started the dairy farm and built the dairy and, of course, over the years constructed the All Saints Church. They didn't know what everybody's Baptist, Methodist, whatever, so they just called it the All Saints Church. And the Biltmore House, everybody knows about the Biltmore House. And those buildings, those homes have evolved into a wonderful place to shop and dine. I'm saying, we had one of the best dinners I've ever had there one night. And, of course, that night, guess what? We had another cocktail party. And then we had our banquet and entertaining videos on a wide screen highlighted by the Skies of Eastern, which was a 20-minute computer-generated show-off, or show-off, and it was really a show-off because Jerry Frost, our treasurer, did such a great job of Eastern Airplanes in flight. It was animated. Great show, great show. And we did have the raffle that night. $1,200 in tickets was sold by me and Dan Frisch with this knee I got. I can't get out and do a lot of stuff, so I sit there and make people buy tickets. And we had a blind auction with donated items, and we raised a lot of money that way, too. Most of them donated by Beverly Graybill, who is the widow of the Eastern Captain Jim Graybill, who, Neil, you probably flew with Jim up here in Atlanta, too.
He used
wonderful
to be one
guy.
Of our hosts also, Jim.
Right. And Jim Duncan donated a black leather jacket, which was had drawn on the back of it, an Eastern 757 by Jim Whitlock. The local Atlanta guy that's the artist, he's our designated artist, and does most of the portraits and retirement posters and Eddie, Captain Eddie, and all the other stuff. He does a great job of that. And that was one by Jennifer Teal, Don Teal's daughter. And we had, like I said, the $1,200, and $400 is won by Janice Campbell. That's his daughter-in-law. And $300 by John Billings, $200 by Jim Holder, which everybody thought I cheated, but I didn't. I won it legal. And Larry Dunwoody, Dan Frisch, and Jeff Campbell won $100. And contrary to what Dale says, they gave their father-in-law and father their winnings. But he told me, you better not put that in the magazine when you come out with it, because I refuse to take their money. So I guess I'm going to have to change around on that. Anyhow, we had a free night. The first 25 to register, we draw for next convention that was won by Ed Booten's $180, which is a pretty good thing to win, I guess. And they also, the Biltmore, gave us 3 free passes, good for 2 years, and that was won by Mary Harney, wife of Steve Harney. And I guarantee you, we had another great convention that would not have been possible. Many, 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 many hours of hard work by President last year, Jim Gardner, and his first lady, and our first lady last year, Pam Davids. Again, assisted again and again and again and again, once more by Sue Reeves, daughter of Captain Jim Reeves, and Michelle Tully. Now, the convention this coming year will be September the 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's going to be in Birmingham at the Hyatt, and I don't know the name of the shopping center, but the Hyatt is part of the shopping center in Birmingham. And it would be very easy to get to from Atlanta guys or Carolina guys. They just drive to Atlanta and then drive 2 more hours west. The guys and gals coming up from Florida, you just hit I-10, you come over and you get to I-65 and go north, and eventually you'll get to Birmingham. And, Neil, that is my report.
Well, Jim, I tell you what, it sounds like you guys had so much fun. I'm sorry that I had a convention a little bit after the Asheville convention. I missed you guys. I missed the convention. I guarantee you I'll see you guys in Birmingham this coming year, or this year, I should say, because
yeah,
it's not coming. It's here already.
All right.
And I tell you what, you guys had so much fun. I think we ought to just incorporate all the other associations and have a convention like you guys did. You guys know how to, obviously, cocktail party. That's one thing.
And I might, Neil, I might add, can I add something?
Yeah, add. Go ahead.
Carrie and I went to Oxford, Mississippi the previous month, which would have been, the next month, which has been October, for the Silver Falcon Convention. And we had a great time over there. And my adopted brother, he and his wife came up from Madison, Mississippi, and he said he'd never had so much fun in his life. And we had a great time. I'd never been to Oxford. I'm from Mississippi, and I guarantee you I'm an Ole Miss fan, but I had never been to Oxford. And Oxford and Asheville sounds utterly surprised me. Just great places to go, both of them. And we had a ball with the Silver Falcons over there, too.
Yeah, Oxford is a neat town. My grandson went there. To Ole Miss, and sounds like a neat town. I've never been there.
It is.
But
it is.
I have been to Birmingham because my grandson was born there in Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter and her husband lived there back 26 years ago. I think JP is now about 26 years old. And so Birmingham should be a good venue for you guys. And I certainly will be there. Easy to get to. So thanks a lot for the report, Jim, and I hope to have you back often and keeping us informed of REPA and what it's doing. And by the way, REPA does have a scholarship program at the University of Auburn, and I didn't make a report. I think I'm still on the board of directors. I don't know. But,
you may be the entire board.
I might be the entire board, but I think every year, I guess we need to do something about that. Hal Nord,
you and Hal
Nord,
I think.
And we need to do something about that this coming year. But the funds that are in that scholarship fund is enough to keep it going forever. How long forever is, but We do a sponsor a person that wins that scholarship, and it's in the name of Eastern Airlines and the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. Reaper, you do a great job. Jim Holder, you do a wonderful job of the magazine and being the humble scribe that you are. And we appreciate all your efforts. Thanks so much, Jim.
Okay.
Dorothy, how about EARA?
Okay, we'll talk about EARA's picnic that was this year held at the C.B. Smith Park in Pembroke Pines in Florida, which is a great historical park. They had registration tables that were manned by the era Vice President Vito Borelli and his wife Marie. And the secretary was Donna Cole. She was there with Chairman Pat Sorrentino. And volunteer was Gemma Perez. And, of course, we had Mitzi Pereira. And she was on selling raffle tickets. And Michael Zoll was inside, and he was working all around, making sure everybody was doing everything that we needed to do to get things ready. Gift baskets were handmade by Pat Sorrentino for raffle prizes, and the era volunteer, Mitzi, was doing a great, great job of selling raffle tickets. The former secretary, Bob Murphy, he was manning the era shop, and they had a great selection of era shirts and hats and cups and the like. And he also brought the Wings of Man book written by Vito Borelli and Roland Moore, which was always a great seller. John Floyd joined us. He brought his artwork and displayed. And he autographed those that he gave to, that he made of the Eastern aircraft and gave them away to any member that wanted to share in this memorabilia. It was quite a significant thing that he was doing. Captain Neil Holland and Emery came all the way down from Jacksonville, and they brought Captain Ed Slame with them, which was nice to see again. And then we had era members that came from Port St. Louis, Key Largo, Decatur, Georgia, and we even had the era Southwest chapter from Fort Myers, Jim Jones, the president, and his group come over. The main buffet was outstanding as usual. Bread baskets with all kinds of buns and potato salad, coleslaw, and they had hot chafing pans with food-stuffed plates of barbecue ribs and chicken and baked beans. And that wasn't all, everybody. We had cheeseburgers and hot dogs and all kinds of sides, sauerkraut, mustard, ketchup, all kinds of onions and peppers and chopped onions and pickles. There were so many different condiments, it was incredible. And, of course, they had soft drinks and water and cans of cold beer with what would be a picnic without cold beer. And plenty of food for everyone. They could even take some home if they wanted to. They also had a great group of the Eastern family and guests and friends there, and they had free door prize tickets that were given out to everyone. And they had it was just a great barbecue, and after which Michael and Vito called ticket numbers for the door prize. And there were many, many photos taken, and it was an outstanding event. The main prize, of course, was they gave three people $125 cash winners. And then they had our Vice President Vito, of course, got airline travel passes. He got some from Silver Airways and Frontier and many, many others that he gave away. And then Era also contributed some wonderful memo pad books that were great. And so all in all, it was about 30 people that ended up winning something there. It was just an outstanding event, and we really thank Era for all the work that they have done on it. So that's back to you, Neil.
Okay. Chuck, how about telling us a little bit? Let's see. Chuck, I've got some of these microphones turned off. I was trying to identify the background noise. And Chuck, are you with us?
I'm going to tell us a little bit about that in a minute.
Yeah,
go ahead,
yeah,
Dorothy.
Well, she's already done her part, Chuck, and the reunion, I guess maybe, Dorothy, you have more information about the EAL Pioneers reunion. Would you give us a little bit about that, since you did such a wonderful highlighting of that in the EARA newspaper kit, Keeping in Touch?
Well, the reunion was really outstanding. We had that down at the Embassy Suites Hotel, which was absolutely beautiful, and the food that we had was great. We started off, of course, with the meet and greet that we had on Friday evening, and we had two entertainers that came for us. They had the ballroom dancing by Star Ballroom, which was absolutely beautiful, and her costumes were just gorgeous, and after which they got people from the audience, all of the attendees, anyone that wanted to share in dancing with them, and that worked out absolutely beautiful. A lot of people were dancing with both the guy, Chuck, and with Jody Dancer, who was excellent. And then, of course, we had music by Richard Frank, and he's the man with the music, and he did a great job of entertaining us for several hours, and everybody was up there dancing, and we had Vito Borelli that was up there dancing up a storm, and he had each one of us up there doing our little thing, and it was just a great night for everybody there. Of course, it didn't end there. Then the next day, there was like a free day in the morning, and anyone could do anything that they cared to do. Several of us went to the Naval Air Museum, which was outstanding to see. That was a great place, and people should, if they're down in this area, should definitely make a point of going down there to see it. And then afterwards, we went back to the where the memorabilia tables were there, and we had a lot of hosts that were entertaining in there. We had Captain Neal, of course. He had Captain Bob Wilbur, who was on the interview on with Neal, and then he had his wife Anita, and they were also interviewing her for the event of what went on with the Flight 1320 and the hijacking. And, of course, the event of the evening was our dinner, which we planned, the banquet. And that was great food that we had. And there was a lot of raffles, tickets being sold that later on we had a lot of prizes for. But our main event that we had was to honor Vito Borelli, and that was absolutely wonderful. And we had several speakers. We had Connie Kerrigan, and we had Ed Flain. We had Chuck was up there speaking about the EAL radio show. I spoke a little bit about the ERA kit, and then we had Michael Zoll come up and talk to us about ERA. And then, of course, we had a lot of speakers talking about Vito and how wonderful Vito has been to all of us during the year. Ed Beagle got up there, and he did an excellent presentation and roast, if you will, on all of them that were up there. The comical scene that he put on for about an hour or an hour and a half was absolutely the funniest thing, that we were just laughing and just tears were running down our face. We had laughed so much. Of course, Ed Slain got up, and we started to honor for the Hall of Fame, and Ed was absolutely super in giving the story of everything that Bob Wilbur had gone through and his family. And again, there were tears in the audience from everything that we were listening to. And then we presented Bob Wilbur with the Hall of Fame, and he had a lot of words that he told us about his experience. And again, we just had so much empathy for all that he had gone through, and we just loved hearing him. It was just absolutely super. Then we also had the Hall of Fame for Vito, and again, that was a great, great night, speaking about all the wonderful things that Vito has done for ERA through the years. And, of course, it didn't end there. We had our raffle, and we had our hosts, which I would like to thank. Our host was Homestead Funding, and they have really done an excellent job of giving us financial help, which we desperately needed. And ERA had given us some financial help on that as well. And, of course, you know, when you do an event like this, people really don't realize how much has gone into it and how much that you have to provide in order to make it a great time. So ERA really contributed quite a bit, and they have brought us some memo pad books to give out freely to everyone. And then they surprised us with another 6 airline passes that they gave out of Silver Airways, Frontier Airways, Alaska. And I'm telling you, we were just thrilled to death to receive them. Don had won one, which we were very, very happy about. And later I'll tell you about our cruise that we went on using Silver Airways. Let me say, I guess the night went on, and we just enjoyed, all of us enjoyed just being together. The people were just super. Connie Kerrigan told us all about the Silver Liners, which was great to hear. And they also presented Bob Wilbur with a Resolution Award. And then they had the Reaper Resolution Award, which was another beautiful reading that we had done. And people had given me cards that they had sent in for sayings for Vito and for Bob Wilbur. We presented them with a box of their memorial cards. So it was very, very emotional the entire evening, and it was just very, very wonderful to be at. And we sincerely thank everyone that contributed by just being their presence, being there. So back to you, Neil.
Well, you know, listening to the Silver Liners and REPA and the EARA event, the picnic, and the reunion that we had this past year, it was a great honor that we all participated in of our beloved airline, Eastern Airlines. And it's all in the memory of Eastern Airlines and our connection with this wonderful, wonderful company that we worked for and with. And golly, I don't even call it work. I hate to use the word work. It was a labor of love, a lot of love. And everyone associated with Eastern Airlines, I think, feels the same way. We had some great radio shows, and what we tried to do with the radio shows for the entire year, which were about 50 broadcasts. We might have missed 2 or 3 broadcasts during the year. But we had some great shows. We had some interesting guests and so forth. So, Steve, how about giving us a walk through the year, at least a part of it, about some of the radio shows that we did have and the special guests that we had. Steve?
Special.
Okay, Steve. Yeah, are you still with us? Okay, I got you. I had your mic turned off. I was trying to isolate some noise. But, Steve, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you, Neil. And, yes, we had some great radio shows during 2016 and some special guests. Here are just a few we broadcast. Episode 248 started the new year in 2016 with a special guest, Susan Weigel, wife of Eastern Airlines President Ed Weigel. Now, episode 252 recalled the tragic crash of Eastern Flight 980, and our guests included Roy Long, Ray Valdez, and the discussion was led by our host, George Jenn, author of the nonfiction book, Final Destination Disaster, What Really Happened to Eastern Airlines. And the story of Flight 980 is still ongoing today. Episode 254 was about the president and CEO of Eastern Airlines, as well as the new Eastern Airlines group. Episode 259 was a fun broadcast recalling by those old enough to remember life in the 50s. Episode 265 was a show based on Neil's visit to the graduation class number 7 of the new Eastern Airlines flight attendants. Now, there were a few interview recordings of employees of the new company. Episode 273 was a live interview with Mr. Ed Weigel, president and CEO of the new Eastern Airlines Group, about the present status and future plans for the company. Chuck, can you give us a few more?
I sure can. Episode 283 was a script delivered by the EAL radio show host and written by producer Neil Holland, based on a flight into the Category 4 Hurricane Bonnie. Episode 285 was based on an actual flight from Miami to JFK and on to Newark, EWR, in which a decision had to be made as to holding for weather or going to an alternate airport and becoming low on fuel. Episode 289 was the breaking news broadcast about the new changes of management in the new Eastern Airlines group. Episode 288 was an interview with Christine Nogi by George Jen about her new book, The Crash Detectives. Very good book, by the way. Episode 294 was a musical tribute to some of the cities served by Eastern Airlines. Episode 295 was titled Remember Old Miami. The show took us back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And that was my hometown. Don?
Too, Chuck. To bring us, our listeners, up to date on Ed Weigel, the following happened shortly after Ed's departure from Eastern Airlines Group. ABIA Air Capital was formed by Ray Sisson and Ed Weigel to become next major airline leasing platform. They determined that there is a consolidation trend among the major leasing companies and therefore the need and the opportunity for a new leasing company that can take advantage of the current aircraft finance/airline order petition environment, as well as the ability to provide good, solid, risk-adjusted current revenues for investors. ABIA will invest strategically in a commodity, narrow-body and wide-bodied aircraft with good geographic and credit diversity. ABIA will also be a partner for manufacturing by identifying and supporting new airline comforts, fleet growth, airlines by financial supporting and their aircraft acquisitions and dispositions to optimize fleet efficiency, as well as other leasers by accepting portfolios of on-lease aircraft, thereby enabling them to manage exposure, portfolio, age, and geographic credit and exposures. Founders of The founders are recruiting a very highly experienced team to manage the companies, initially outsourcing many of the back office functions that require by leasing companies until scale is reached. Back to you guys.
Well, their team consists of Raymond Sassone, Executive Chairman, Ed Weigel, CEO, and Steve Tengay, Chief Investment Officer. Ray Sassone is a co-founder and executive chairman of AVIA Air Capital, and he's got a lot of experience in capital management. And getting on down to the second partner in this group is Ed Weigel, and he is a co-founder and the CEO of AVIA Air Capital, and has over 30 years of experience in the airline industry, investment banking, and aviation finance. He's been the architect of several major aircraft purchase orders with Boeing, Embraer, and Mitsubishi Aircraft. Mr. Weigel joined AVIA Air Capital from Eastern Airlines Group, where he was the founder. and served as its president and CEO. Under his direction, Eastern grew to a fleet of six modern 737-800 aircraft within months. He also led negotiations leading to the orders for 10 new Boeing 737 MAX aircraft and 20 new Mitsubishi MRJ-90 aircraft. Prior to Eastern, Mr. Weigel was president, CEO, and director of Chautauqua Airlines, U.S. Airways Express. While at Chautauqua, he originated an order and structured and raised the equity for the acquisition of 80 Embraer aircraft. Mr. Weigel also served as president, COO, and a director of BWI, as we remember, International Airways, and was a co-founder and member of the board of directors of Atlantic Coast Airlines, United Express. Mr. Weigel began his career in investment banking and was a vice president in the investment banking restructuring division of Lehman Brothers, where he worked on several major airline restructurings and ran Lehman's portfolio of 75 commercial jet aircraft. Mr. Weigel graduated from the United States Military Academy, West Point, and received his MBA in finance from the University of Northern Colorado. What I think a loss for the new Eastern Airlines group, but I'm sure Mr. Weigel will go on to greater things, and he has accomplished so much during his career in aviation. He brought Eastern Airlines Group, the new Eastern Airlines that we see in the sky today, and we hope that the new Eastern Group will succeed with the new management now, without the direction of Ed Weigel. But we are supportive of the new Eastern Group, and that would like to make comments on this radio or this radio show, I should say. It's not a station, but we'd welcome any comments from the new Eastern Airlines Group. Eastern, we're always a person that will support the endeavors of the Eastern Airlines. It's hard to put words right now thinking about Eastern Airlines, and we hope so much that it will succeed, and this will be a big year, 2017, for the new group. Dorothy, you and Don just took a very interesting trip this past month. As a matter of fact, wasn't it during Christmas? And can you tell us all about it? You kind of touched on it about your free passes, but tell us a little bit more about going to Cuba.
Well, Don is an Air employee. He won the Silver Airways passes at the reunion. And so on December 23rd, we took off for Varadero, Cuba, which is where Silver Airways goes out of. They go out of Varadero as well as Santa Clara. And they have other destinations they go to, but that's the main ones that is closest to Havana. And we definitely want to go to Old Havana to see some of the historic buildings that they had there. So we left there, and strange enough, it was just busy as all get out going down to Fort Lauderdale. We expected it to have traffic, but we never thought it would take us almost 2 hours to get to Fort Lauderdale. And when we did, of course, now being so late there getting in, we were in Terminal 2, and of course we had to go to Silver Airways Terminal 1. Our flight left at 3:15, so we left in plenty of time to be there, but we're about an hour and a half just in line to the ticket agent because, as you know, having passes, we can't really go through the machines that you have to get your boarding pass. We have to go to the counter, and they have to put our bags on standby aside, which wasn't a problem because the minute they saw Don with his Eastern hat the emblem on his hat. They really pushed us through, and in fact, we got our seat assignment, so we knew that we were going to be on board and that was going to be a problem. And so they gave us visas, because going to Cuba, Americans have to have visa. Now, all the time we're standing in line, we're getting a little bit nervous because we hadn't changed our currency yet, and Cuba does not accept American cash or American credit cards. So we had to get some pesos, which is what Cuba will take. And here we are in line for an hour and a half, and we haven't even got to customs yet. So they quickly got us through the tickets, sent us down to customs, and we're down there for another hour and a half. Then they confiscate Don's medical bag, and we can't go anywhere until we get that back, and we're waiting for agents. And they were so busy, they were just taking one person at a time, and no one would really help us until finally we got that taken care of. And why they were in there, we have no idea, but they passed us through. So now we're practically running down to the gate, because our plane was leaving at 3:15, and it was 3:20, and we figured we weren't going anywhere. We're going to be there for the evening. But because Fort Lauderdale was jammed with airplanes taking off, I mean, they just had everything delayed. Every flight was delayed. It was incredible. So we didn't leave until probably about 10 minutes of 4, and we were able to board the aircraft. But before we did, we had to sign an affidavit to go to Cuba. And the affidavit was all printed up and had check boxes that you had to check, and they wanted us to check a box of why we were going. Well, there wasn't a box for tourists, so Don says, you know, there is no box for tourists. And she said, well, why are you going? He says, we're just going to tour. We're just going to take a trip, a vacation. So we had to check a box that said we're supporting Cuban people, because they wouldn't let us aboard unless we did this affidavit. So we did that. We did the affidavit. We figured, well, we actually are supporting the Cuban people, because the hotels are very expensive and all the taxis were very expensive. So and when you think about it, we did support Cuban people. But
how expensive were the hotels, Dorothy?
Well, the hotels were about the lowest that we got was $300 a night. And they went going up to $654 a night. And I couldn't get anywhere because we weren't going to pay $654 a night. We were there 3 nights and 4 days. And we to take our taxi from Varadero to Cuba, to Havana, Cuba, we paid $100. To come back, they charged us $120. And you have to get back, so you don't have a choice. And we'd go out to dinner, and one time we'd go out, and it would be $7 to this restaurant that was nearby, and the next time you know it was about $10. And so every time you turned around, it was a different price. It wasn't a standard price at all. But the funniest part, when we left on Silver Airways, we go through the regular passageway like you're going to be getting onto the plane, only we don't get on a plane. We go down through the doors, down a flight of steps, and out onto the tarmac. We have to go into a bus to take us out to where the plane is to get on the plane. So we went through this winding thing that they have with all kinds of cones, and we finally get on the plane, and so we take off. It was a prop plane, very, very turbulent, extremely turbulent. And
it was a hell of a ride.
It really was. And so we finally get to Varadero, and again, we had to be shuttled from the aircraft to inside the customs. And we get there, and the wait was incredible, absolutely incredible. We get up to the counter, and she says, you didn't fill the other side of your visa in. I said, but I don't understand it. It's in Spanish. How can I fill it in? I filled in my side, which is American. She said, no, you got to go back and fill the other side in. So I said, Dawn, you go, and you wait for me on the other side. And I went back, and I filled the same thing that I had on the left side. I put on the right side because I couldn't read it. It's Spanish. So anyway, finally they let me get through. And now we go out and we go to another section where you're going through the conveyor belts. And, of course, that was another hour that we're out there trying to go through conveyor belts. We get through that. We think we're ready to go get our money because we can't go anywhere without some sort of pesos because we never did get back to Terminal 2 to change it in Fort Lauderdale. And so now we're stopped by nurses. And they kept saying to us, you got to have a medical. And we're saying, but they told us that we didn't in customs. She said, you can't. I don't know why they ever told you that. You can't leave here. So they wouldn't let us leave until we filled in another one for Dawn and another one for me. So we finally made it to the currency, and we got that. In the meantime, you walk out the door, and you're barraged with people that want to take you in the taxi. I mean, everybody is trying to take your luggage and they're trying to guide you over to their taxi. I mean, it must have been about 25 or 30 taxis. So we finally get to the currency anyway, and then we book this driver that would take us for the 2 hours over to Veradero. And he did. But it's funny how they stopped on the way, and he says he has to go to the restroom. Only I really think that what they do is support the restaurant, because afterwards when I came out, he was at the bar and he wanted to know if we wanted to stop and have something to drink or eat. And, of course, by that time we hadn't eaten lunch, so we were ready for dinner for sure. So we said to him, no, we just want to go to the hotel. And he finally got us to the hotel. And we checked in. Now we go up to the room. I unpacked all our stuff. Dawn and I, we got everything all unpacked. And then we went to plug in the phone, so we, you know, our cell phones, while we were downstairs having lunch. And the electricity went out in the room. And I had said to Dawn on the way, now, Dawn, you know, I read a lot about different reviews, and they talked about Cuba being, maybe you might have hot water, maybe you might have a shower, sometimes the shower works. And I said, you know, I heard that they had electricity out for a week. I said, I hope we're not in the group that had electricity for the week. But he called up the front desk, and they came right up, and so that was good that way. And then the next day we toured Havana, and that was absolutely terrific. We had a guy that I found on the internet that was a lot of reviews, and we used him, and he took us all over Havana. We saw every single thing that you could possibly see. The architecture was absolutely beautiful. He told us a lot of history about Cuba, which things that we didn't know. We went down, we saw the bunkers where they had they had 30-foot cannons there from the Spanish Wars and the Revolution that they had. They took us to the Revolution Square, where they had all kinds of three or four buildings, had these great big caricatures of the heroes, Cuban heroes. And then they took us over where we saw to one of the forts. It's right the harbor. They have like three forts, but this one here is right at the top of the fort, and it had the Cuban Missile Crisis that was there. It had Cuban missiles Russian missiles that were sitting on a bank up there. They had all anti-aircraft guns. They had old planes that were up there. And then, of course, the highlight for us was this great big enormous Cristobal statue that was like the patron saint, if you will, of Cuba. So we had a really great, great time.
They had the wreckage of a U-2 also up there.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Had that there too as well. And then the restaurant.
What kind of plane did you fly over there on?
It was a twin-engine prop jet, like a Queen Air maybe. No, I bigger than that. It was. I think there was a capacity of 28 people on there.
Coming back though, we only had four of us on the plane.
Yeah, they made us sit in the back because
probably
of the weight distribution
weight
or something.
Bounce,
out of
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, before we run out of time, for the guys out there, I was in awe at all the 40s, 50s, and 60s automobiles. that are on the island. There's hundreds of them.
Was one of them your taxi cab, Don?
Yes. Yeah, we were in a 49 Chevy.
Wow.
For our tour. But interesting enough, they have converted all of their engines to diesel. And the reason they do that is because they could not get parts from the United States, obviously, for 50 years. So they converted them to diesel, and they got their parts from England, France, Russia, you know, whatever, to power these cars. So they don't run too well, and the bodies are not all that good. I saw one or two maybe really good shape, but a lot of 55, 57 Chevys, Buicks, Oldsmobiles, of course, a lot of Fords. One guy had his car painted with a paintbrush, but it was kind of cool.
Tell them about the traffic lights.
We've been in Italy and Costa Rica and Cartagena, and when you take a taxi in those countries, red lights mean nothing. They go right through them. But in Cuba, they stop at every red light, and they're not a light. They're a number system, and the light will turn red with numbers, and it'll count down 24, 23, 22. When it gets down to zero, it'll turn green, and you know you can go for the next 35 seconds. It's kind of unique, but they do obey all the traffic laws in Cuba.
A lot of police enforcement around everywhere you went. We didn't see guns exposed or any of that. Any kind of machine guns. We didn't see any of that, but we did see a lot of police around.
Dorothy, how about the communications? Were you able to communicate with the Cubans easily?
A lot of them had broken English. The tour driver did not. He was strictly Cuban, and the guide was broken English, but very well spoken. And he would tell the driver what to do, and how they work it is they do like a drive and a walk. They'll take you to certain places, and they drop you off, and you go with the guide, and he shows you all around, and then the go back to the driver. They meet you in another spot, and he'll take you to the next spot. So when he had to converse, he would always converse in Cuban, and like Don was asking about the car and about the engine, and so he would have to relay to the driver so we could get the answers. At dinner one night, I thought the waitress understood what I said, and I had asked for a certain pasta that was on the menu. So when I got my dinner, I didn't get one, and so I'm trying to tell her what I ordered, and so she couldn't really understand me, although she spoke some broken English. And one of the customers there heard the conversation, called her over, and told her what I was asking for, and she came right out with it. She got it immediately. But then we struck up a conversation with the guy. He happened to come from Jacksonville, Florida, and his wife is Cuban, and they have a lot of casas over there where people will let you rent their room, and you can have like a full breakfast. You can even have some three meals a day if you want there. But it's in their own home. I didn't want to do anything like that because I wasn't sure of what you'd get, and I was too nervous that way. But this guy rents a beautiful place for $300 a night right on the ocean, and that's beautiful. But, of course, it's about an hour away from Old Havana, which is where we really wanted to see.
They are remodeling a lot of the old buildings down there from the 17th and 18th century, which is great. It's very, very historic. It's very interesting country or island, whatever you want to call it.
The architecture was beautiful. It was oddly enough, it was all done by Italians, which I found to be, I thought you'd have Cuban construction mostly, and that's not true. The statues and everything that they pointed out to us as we went along were all done by Italians. So that was quite interesting.
Well, Dorothy and Don,
were the rooms air-conditioned?
Yes.
No, the rooms were air-conditioned, but none of the cars were. In fact, it was never a good hair day any day. I mean, I was blown to smithereens on between getting onto the tarmac out there in the wind trying to get into the airplane, and every ride that we took, by the time you got anywhere, you had to go in and comb. Even Dawn's hair was all over the place because we had to keep the windows open. They don't have air conditioning in the car.
Anybody that knows Dorothy knows that she will not leave the house without everything being in place.
Well,
and this wasn't going to happen in Cuba.
It reminded me of my sailing days because, I mean, you had to keep the windows open. Otherwise, you would have suffocated in the car. And it was degrees where there were about, what, 87, a couple of days down there?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
But you always had a breeze because of being near the ocean, and we weren't really hot or sweaty or any of that. It was amazing that way. And the people were extremely nice, and they kept asking us if we liked the Cubans. How do you like Cuba? Do you like the Cuban people? How do you like Cuba? Did you like it here? Did you have a nice vacation here?
What was I going to say? No, I don't like them. Bang.
Yeah. George, what an opportunity here for you to write a fictional novel, aviation fictional novel in Cuba. In that,
there you go.
location,
by the way, speaking of which, nonfiction, I heard from Dan Futrell, who was one of the guys who went up Mount Iamani,
and supposedly the NTSB is going to attempt to read whatever that tape is that they brought back with them on January the 4th, which is the day after tomorrow.
That's really great.
Great news. Very good.
Well, we'll see.
Can you keep us posted on that, George?
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
Very good. And I'd like to do another show on 980, and we've talked about it numerous occasions during 2016, and I'm sure it's going to be in the news 2017. So, keep us posted on that.
Will do.
Also,
Dorothy,
go
ahead.
One point, I just want to say of the airlines that are flying in and out of Cuba, which I was very surprised at. They had Air Canada, they had Air Transit, Iberia, JetBlue was there, Spirit, Southwest was there. They had two flights for Florida, Sun Country, and from England they had the Thomas Cook Tours, and then they had WestJet Airlines. They went to, they had people going to Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal, Frankfurt, England, Netherlands, Paris, and Stockholm. It was incredible.
So it's a lot of international flights. Did you see Aeroflot, Russian Airlines, and some of the...
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, okay.
But they do have a Russian a religious mosque there, or whatever you call there.
Yeah. I would imagine that most of the international flights go into Havana instead of Veradero.
Well, I would think so, but there's a lot that go into Veradero and Santa Clara, because Santa Clara is a college town, and they have quite a few people. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Y entonces dice que donde estaban comiendo, que no le estaban dando el plato que ella había pedido.
Well, that was our Spanish translator. And go ahead, Dorothy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I forget what I was saying, actually. That kind of surprised me. It's like, am I listening to Spanish all over again?
Veradero is going to be like the
Riviera.
yeah, the Venice of Cuba. It's going to be a
now,
huge tourist attraction.
Now, Don, where exactly is it located? Give us a geographical. It's on the north side of Cuba. Is it east or west of Havana?
It is east of Havana.
Okay.
About 2 hours east of Havana.
And it's on the north, on the north shoreline of Cuba.
It's on the it's not the Atlantic side. It's the
other
side.
Yeah, it's more like on the southeast side.
And it's a peninsula.
Okay.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Steve.
Hey, Steve, we got you. You got a question?
No, I've got a statement. I've got a correction to make.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's on the north shore of Cuba.
Okay,
that's what I thought. It was on the north shore, yeah. Very good. It proves me right.
We're about to run out of fuel, Neil.
Oh, no. Well, we're going fine, but, yeah, I think we've just about... I tell you what, we can do a whole show on Cuba, Dorothy and Don, and it's very interesting what you're telling us about. One final question about Cuba, and then we'll try to put the airplane back on the ground. But would you recommend for a person that wanted to vacation either in the Caribbean with all of the Caribbean islands that Eastern served, an alternative of Havana or Cuba? What would be your thoughts about a person wanting to travel in the Caribbean?
Well, it depends upon what people like to do. I mean, if people go and they just want to rest, then they would go to a place like Varadero. That would be a different thing to do altogether because they're all beaches and all the hotels are almost newer than old Havana, certainly, and they're all-inclusive. You have the three meals are all-inclusive. If you want to be historic, then Cuba would be the place that you'd want to see because there's a lot
Havana.
More to see than, I mean, Havana.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more to see than Don and I saw. We only had three or four days to do it in, and there was a lot more that we didn't get out and go look at. But, I mean, I've always loved the Caribbean, so unfortunately it's hard for me to say. I mean, Don would probably say a little bit better than I that way.
Would you go back?
Yeah, I would go back.
I would go back and I would see other parts of it that we didn't see because certainly 4 days is not enough to see everything that was there. And don't forget, we were there on the holiday. So Christmas Day we spent at the oldest hotel they had and the most exclusive was the National Hotel. That's where the rooms were $654 a night. We had a dinner there that was a 5 or 6 course dinner, and the two of us paid $75 for two people, which on a Christmas or a holiday, we've never been able to do that in our area here in Florida.
Yeah.
And most of the meals, folks, were $26. One time we paid $46. We paid for the Italian restaurant with a 5 or 6 course meal. And they were all excellent because we had a lot of Cuban food, international food, and then we had the Italian place that we were recommended by the driver that was called by the hotel. In fact, it's one of the people at the hotel used, and it's good to take recommendations from the hotel because you know that the drivers are going to take you where you want to go. I mean, one of the things that you always think about when you're away like that is, are you ever going to get where you want to go?
Yeah.
And
Dorothy,
we ended up
one going over there can't rent a car like Avis or Hertz or whatever
and just strike out
on their own,
can you? No, you can. In fact, they're not only at the airport, they're also at some of the hotels.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
Dorothy, this is Chuck. When you say $600 a night, is that Spanish Cuban money or American money?
That's American money. What I ended up doing is I got reservations through. That was another interesting thing because they don't take a reservation directly. You have to pay cash or pesos. They won't take your credit card. But what I did is call, it's click.com, and they have an office in Italy and in Canada. And they book it through the Canada office that pays for their hotel in Cuba, and we pay our money to the American who turns it over to Canada. It's kind of a weird thing, and I had to do the same thing with the Cuban tourist that we got. We paid half our price of the tour to the American on our credit card, and then when we got there, we had to give the guide the rest of the balance of the money to him.
Well, very good. You know, we're running short on fuel, so we're going to have to get the airplane on the ground here very soon, and we might want to continue this. This is very interesting, Don and Dorothy. And so maybe we can revisit this discussion again in a future show that we'll have, maybe just traveling Cuba. But I wanted to make this quick announcement. I received this email from Jose Santiago about a tragic crash 45 years ago, December 31st, 1972. And as you may remember this, on the night of December 31st, 1972, the San Juan EAL family suffered another great loss when baseball legend and EAL spokesperson Roberto Clemente perished in an aircraft crash north of San Juan, Puerto Rico. Clemente was en route to Nicaragua for earthquake relief efforts. His body was never recovered. At the time of his death, Clemente had established several records with the Pirates, Pittsburgh Pirates, including most triples in a game, 3, and hits in 2 consecutive games, 10. He won 12 Gold Glove Awards and shares the record of most won among outfielders with Willie Mays. On July 25th, 1956, in a 9-8 Pittsburgh win against the Chicago Cubs, Clemente hit the only walk-off inside the park grand slam in a professional baseball history. Hall of Fame, on March 20th, 1973, the Baseball Writers Association of America held a special election for the Baseball Hall of Fame. They voted to waive the waiting period for Clemente due to the circumstances of his death and posthumously elected him for induction into the Hall of Fame, giving him 393 out of 420 available votes, or 92% of the vote. Clemente's Hall of Fame plaque originally had his name, Roberto Walter Clemente, instead of the proper Spanish format, Roberto Clemente Walker. The plaque was recast in 2000 to correct the error. This was an email that was sent to us by Jose Santiago. Thank you very much, Jose. And I had forgotten that Roberto Clemente was also a spokesperson for EAL. So, wow, what a show we had tonight. Wonderful show to start off the new year 2017. And let's see, I want to let Chuck finish us up here.
Okay, well, folks, that's about all the time we have for tonight. It was a great show. Captain Steve, how about putting Flight 299 gently back on the ground?
Atlanta Tower, this is Eastern 299 or 9, and we're just passing over Stone Mountain in our new Boeing 757-200, and we're requesting a right turn into runway 27 right, and we've got that in sight.
Eastern Flight 299, this is Atlanta Tower, and you're clear to land on runway 27 right. The winds are light and variable from the west at 10 miles an hour. The present temperature at the airport is a nice 67 degrees.
Roger. Thanks, Miami Atlanta Tower. Eastern 299 is clear to land on 27 right.
Great show. Great landing, Captain Steve. We had a great show tonight, folks. It's wonderful that we can start off our new year with such a wonderful discussion about the past, and we look forward to the future of bringing you more outstanding broadcasts about Eastern Airlines and its people. And, you know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines and the place we worked and the stories we share. We feel we've truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And it's all because of you, our callers, our listeners, our guests, our hosts, and our sponsors. And Reba, thanks for the sponsorship. We look forward to our Eastern family and our friends joining us again January 9th, 2017, when we hope you will have a healthy, prosperous, and happy new year, 2017. Also, we want you to be with us once again this coming year as we file our flight plan for a destination not yet determined. And until then, we all say good night, Eastern. We love
good
you,
night,
Eastern, and happy new year.
Love you. Love you.
Good night.
Happy
new year.
And surely you'll be your pine stood. cross to fear and gaze a hand o' thine, and we'll Tacarec get where we walk for all of lang syne. For all of lang syne, dear. For all of lang syne, we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for all. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll tak a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang
Happy New Year, Eastern.